you can begin finding in your Bibles the book of Judges, the 13th chapter. In the months of May and June, as we're reminded every year, are reserved for college and high school graduates. And every year that it goes by, I am certain for the parents, it reminds us of how time flies. I don't know if you're anything like me, but it seemed like I blinked once and my children were 10. I blinked twice and my children were graduating in 20. If you're a parent here this morning and you agree that time flies, would you say amen? And so it also reminds us that these graduates are moving forward. They are going out into their chosen field to work, and they are going out, hopefully, to realize their dreams and their aspirations. And again, parents and grandparents are reminded on days like this, these mile marker days, that the years have flown by. Time flies. And so it seems as if just yesterday we ourselves were graduates, because time flies. And I'm positive that the graduates we've honored here today no doubt learned the song when they were little, Jesus loves me, this I know, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Well, I got to thinking about that, and as the years have gone by, and you're going to have to help me out here this morning when we get to the chorus, but I do want to share with our graduates that one day, and soon, and sooner than you can imagine, you're going to be singing, Jesus loves me, just a little bit differently. It'll go something like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me come to him. Everybody on the chorus. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in his I'll go. On through life let come what may, he'll be there to lead the way. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though I am no longer young, I have much which he's begun. Let me serve Christ with a smile, go with others the extra mile. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When my work on earth is done, and life's victories have been won, he will take me home above, then I'll understand his love. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, graduates, if you remember nothing else, as you go through life, you remember this: time flies. And my prayer and my hope for you and for all of us, that we will hold to that and that we will remember to do what God has commanded us to do in His Word, Ephesians 5:16, to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. This morning, here you are in Judges chapter 13. If you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word, Judges 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For, lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his birth. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord, and Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor should as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that you have given us, for the blessing that has been upon us this morning to be a part of these parents' and grandparents' lives. Lord, we as a church family are rejoicing today as these children and our graduates have reached a milestone marker in their lives. Father, we pray your great blessings to be upon them. We pray, Father, in the days ahead in their lives that they will remember that which was spoken here today, that they would carry it with them all the days of their lives, that they will make their lives count, that when they come to the end of their days, they would hear these words we all long to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, graduates, I want to share with you this morning a message on how to avoid wasting your life. And as you begin moving out, you've no doubt discovered that you have one of two choices that you get to make in life. And those two choices are this: you can make your life count or you can waste your life. God has given you the opportunity. God is with you. God desires to bless you. God desires to be your Savior. And God has set before you this pathway. Go and make your life count, and do not waste the life that God has given unto you. From the life of Samson this morning, God has three principles he wants to share with us on how to avoid wasting your life. And Samson's life story is told from Judges chapter 13 through Judges chapter 16, and time will not permit us to read all of those chapters. But we've discovered in our text how Samson's life began, and we discover God's call on Samson's life from the very beginning. And I want to share with you graduates this morning and all of us that from the very day that we were born, God had a call. He had a plan upon our life to bring us to an expected end. And I hope that all of us are in tune with where God would have us to be in these days. You see, Samson was to be a Nazarite from birth. A Nazarite was someone who was, in Old Testament times, set apart for God's purposes. And that has great implications for us in these New Testament days of grace in which we're living, because when we repent and place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God asks us to be sanctified, to be set apart from this world system unto the Lord our God. And I'm just going to skip right to the end very quickly where Samson's life is concerned. You see, Samson didn't live as God would have him to live. And as a result, Samson's life ended with him blinded and grinding because he wasted his life. And I hope that you'll make a determination and purpose in your heart right now to say, I do not want to waste my life. When I come to the end, I want to know that my life counted for something, that I made a difference. I don't want my life to end like Samson's. Well, there are three mistakes that Samson made that led to his being a washout for God. And I can think of no greater tragedy than coming to the end of your days and having those who knew you, those who cared for you, and those who love you have to admit that, you know what? They were nothing but a washout when it came to the things of God. There is nothing in the life of Samson that one can point to as a living legacy that he left behind. His life just did not count for the things that God holds dear. When I think about this, and being a pastor all the years that I have been now, I've seen a lot of people start out in life, make mistakes in life, and come to the end of their days, and they were a washout for God. What I'm trying to share with you is that as the years go by, you're going to be looking back with memories at decisions made, opportunities taken, or opportunities passed up, and you're going to look back either with fond memories of God's good hand upon you and the blessings of God in your life, or you are going to look back upon your life with some deep heartache and some deep regrets at time that you wasted. But you need to understand this, the choice is yours. God has set before you in His Word the path that you are to take. I encourage you, follow the Lord your God. You see, the first mistake that Samson made was this: he didn't recognize the seriousness of his time. The author of the book of Judges wrote to help his readers understand the seriousness of the times. As young Christian men and women gather, graduating and moving forward, I pray you recognize the seriousness of your time. The times were serious for God's people in Samson's time because Joshua had died. We read in Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." We might be able to say, and I think we can make a strong case for America today, that there is a generation of people that has risen up that do not know the Lord and the works that he has done for America. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." Now you might be wondering, well, why is this important? Because the author of the book of Judges wants us to know that as long as Joshua was alive, there was a people that were serving the Lord. Well, men and women, those of us who are saved, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, may it be said of us that we are a people who serve the Lord our God and no other. And young men and women, as graduates, as you go out into this generation, you need to determine in your heart that you are going to be a man or a woman of God who is going to get to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of Almighty God. Upon Joshua's death, there was no one that came along who knew the Lord. In other words, they chose not to follow God. It wasn't that there wasn't teachers. It wasn't that there weren't people teaching about God. We're talking about a generation, much like you're witnessing in the seriousness of your time, who chose not to know God. And the Word of God says that everything in their nation quickly went downhill as a result, and this is the world in which we are witnessing, in which you are stepping into today, a world that can be described exactly as the book of Judges ends, Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And again, this is the world that you are stepping into. This is the world Samson was born into. Samson was the seventh of Israel's judges. And therefore, he knew from birth, because his parents were godly parents, and they taught him about God's call upon his life, so that Samson is without excuse. He knew that what was needed most in Israel was a man who would stand for God. He knew God had set him apart. And he knew God wanted him to stand against sin and not become a participant in it. And because he knew this, it should have affected the way he lived his life. For each one of our graduates, you were brought up in a Christian home. You were brought up in a home where your parents and your grandparents honored the Lord their God. You were brought up in a home where your parents and grandparents encouraged you to be in church, encouraged you to follow the Lord. And so again, knowing that, it should affect the way you live your lives. You see, it should have affected the way that Samson used the gifts that God had given him. And it should have affected the way he responded to the opportunities that God had placed before him. And what was true for Samson is true for all of us as well. But most especially in this day, graduates, God is looking for young Christian men and women like you who will say yes to God and no to sin. The times are serious. And because this is true, it should affect the way you use the God gifts that God has given you and the way you seize the opportunities that God places before you. The greatest need in this nation today is for young men and young women, young Christian men and young Christian women, to live with a backbone instead of a wishbone. And for these young Christian men and women to dare to be different in order that they can make a difference for the Lord their God into the world in which we are sending them. Don't miss that God had gifted and placed Samson in a position where he could make a difference for God's people and been part of a turning of a nation around for the glory of God. And graduates, that's what God wants to do with you. Wherever he sends you, whatever your occupation, understand that God has placed you in that position because he wants to use you in a mighty way to turn a once proud nation called these United States, to turn it around and turn it back to Almighty God. And it's going to take young men and women with the courage to live with a backbone and to stand with God and not to be like the world around them. Well, sadly, Samson didn't realize the seriousness of his times, and he missed it. And so I pray that you'll be encouraged not to make the mistake Samson did. I pray that you'll recognize the seriousness of the times and be a positive influence wherever Christ places you. Well, there's a second mistake that Samson made. He failed to benefit from the influences, from the godly influences that God had placed in his life. Understand, Samson had the same choice that you have. Would he take advantage of the godly influences that God has placed in his life? Would he listen to the teachings of his mother from the day that he was a child through his teen years? Would he hearken to the voice of his grandfather or his grandmama as they taught and sought to encourage him to follow God? The same question can be asked of our graduates this morning. It can be asked of all of us. Not just them. Are we taking advantage of the godly influences that God has placed in our life? Before our graduates, God has blessed you with one parent or parents or a grandparent or grandparents who truly love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. And I pray that you will take advantage of the lessons they have sought to teach you, and you will not live so as to please yourself, but you will determine to do what your parents and grandparents have done, and that you will determine to live so as to please the Lord. And when you fail, you remember this. if we confess our sins, there is a God in heaven who is faithful, and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because I'm certain that your parents and your grandparents, as wonderful as they are, they're not perfect, nor am I. But there is a God who they turn to time and again, who they pray to, and who they call upon, and who forgives them, and who dusts them off and sets their feet upon a solid rock and helps them to move forward once again. And so you remember that. There is no mistake so great that God cannot forgive you for if you repent and turn to the Lord your God. Look at me again in verse 8 here in our text. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now I want you to note this is an amazing response to the news that this long barren wife is going to have a child. Undoubtedly, they were overjoyed they were going to have a child after all the years of barrenness. But note, that was overshadowed by their sense of responsibility. Even the fact that their child was going to be a special gift and a special commission from God didn't become a source of pride for them, nor did they have a let go and let God philosophy toward parenthood. They took their responsibilities seriously, because they had a right reverence and a right awe of a holy God. Samson's parents were everything he wasn't. May that never be said of our graduates. May it be said they were all that their parents were and more. Samson failed to take advantage and learn from the godly influences that God had blessed his life with. Are you taking advantage of the godly influences that God has placed in your life? Not just your parents. I would challenge you to think, what other godly influences has God placed in your life? And are you taking advantage of it? Are you growing in your faith? Are you benefiting? And are you making your life count? Samson didn't, because he chose not to, plain and simple. You be encouraged that you don't make the same mistake. The third mistake that Samson made was this: he didn't allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish his divine work. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is different than the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these New Testament days of grace. That's because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for specific tasks and then he would leave. So clearly Samson's unusual gifts and abilities were a direct result of a blessing from the Holy Spirit. And at the very least, Samson knew it intellectually. But he didn't know it where it mattered most, in the heart. And so for all of us, but most especially on this graduation Sunday, many of you graduates have been brought up in the church. And I pray that you have not just an intellectual knowledge, I pray that you have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your faith is your own faith and not just your parents' faith. I pray that long after you graduate college, that you will bring your children and your families up in the Lord by being a responsible member of the church. You see, Samson knew it. He had conscientious parents. They had been teaching him. They had been training him. They had been telling him all of his life of the special call that God had upon him. Samson knew that God had a work God wanted to accomplish in Israel. And Samson knew that God not only wanted to accomplish it in Israel, but also in the pagan nations around him. And Samson knew that God had chosen him to do this work. If you are a New Testament Christian, through repentance and faith, you need to understand that God has chosen you to be a light unto this dark world and to be a salt to challenge people with their, and when they come to false convictions and false philosophies. You need to be a light of truth in a world of sin. But Samson, instead of cooperating with the Spirit of God, Samson grieved the Spirit of God. Instead of accomplishing God's purposes with God's gifts and seizing the opportunities that God placed before him, Samson chose instead to try and accomplish his own purposes using God's gifts. He tried to create his own opportunities instead of patiently waiting upon the Lord. Let me remind you as you go through life, what it will be true for you is also true for us. Only what's done for Christ will last. That means we must be good stewards of the time, because not one of us knows how much time we have in this world. So we must be good stewards of the time. God has blessed each of you tremendously. Be good stewards of those gifts. Be good stewards of the opportunities, because our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Holy Spirit is a whole lot better today than it was for the Old Testament saints, simply because the Holy Spirit does not come and go in our lives in, as he did in Old Testament times. Here is the blessings of the Bible when it comes to the Holy Spirit in your life. New Testament believers are sealed by the Spirit of God. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You are made new by the Spirit of God. You can develop fruit by the Spirit of God. You are illuminated by the Spirit of God. You are enabled by the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, as you go forth in life, I no doubt that you will accomplish great things if you will live according to the Word of God. Samson made a mistake of not allowing the divine Holy Spirit to accomplish his divine work in his life. I hope that all of us would say we don't want to make those mistakes. That we want to make our life count by recognizing the seriousness of the times, by taking advantage of the godly influences that God has placed in our lives, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to accomplish his divine work in our lives. Be a difference maker as you journey out into the places that God will take you. Be a young man or a woman who will stand up and speak up for godly values. You've been given a Bible. I hope that you will know every page in that Bible as you go through life. I hope that when your day comes and you stand to give an account to God, that you will be able to say, Lord, as much as it lies in me, because your Spirit led me, I stood for the Lord. And if you'll do that, when you come to the end of your days, you will no doubt hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word unto us today. We thank you for the blessings that it brings and the blessings of life. Lord, we pray for each one of these 8 graduates that we honored here this morning. Lord, we pray your mercies, your grace, and your great blessings to be upon them as they travel through life. May they realize every dream that you have for them. May they accomplish every work that you would want them to accomplish in their lives. And Father, may we rejoice today, for you are good, you are great, you are an awesome God. Thank you for a church that has stood by these children, that has watched them grow, that can celebrate with their parents and grandparents the good hand of the Lord upon us on this day. We give thanks in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be here this morning and you've not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but God is calling you. You may be online listening this morning and you too have not yet received Christ as your Savior, but you'll have an opportunity to do that in just a moment. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and I pray that none of us would squander it. I pray that today you would give your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be here as a young Christian man or older Christian man, young Christian woman or older Christian woman. Perhaps you fell. The world has its temptations, and we'd be foolish to admit that we haven't fallen from time to time. Perhaps you've made a mistake in your life and you think that there's no possible way that God could ever forgive me. But I want you to know I know a God in heaven who loves you unconditionally, who will forgive you of every sin that you have ever committed, who just wants you to repent of that he might set your feet back upon the solid ground and you can go on with great joy in your heart, the joy that you had at the very beginning. Your first love can be restored because our God is an awesome God. You may be here this morning and God is calling you to join the church. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And after we sing and have our invitation, we'll have our closing. Let's stand and let's sing this morning.